Before we start this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including the Stitcher Radio app for your mobile device, iTunes, our website air-raid.net, and of course at www.cairoradio.com. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 256, 257, in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Oh, indeed. I'm losing count, folks. It's been going on for a long time, right? Holy crap. We're in our sixth year? Is that how that works? I don't know. No, it can't be, because we started in 2010, right? So that would be mathematically impossible. Okay, on the show today. Holy shit, folks. Legend. Legendary, Jurassic 5, member of Jurassic 5, Zakir, also known as Soup, will be joining us here shortly. This conversation took place a week ago. I was contacted by the people who run things over at Jurassic 5, or maybe not run things, but the people, right? The people, the Jurassic 5 people. And they contacted me and said, hey, we would like somebody from Jurassic 5 to come on the show. Would you be into it? And first of all, I jumped around and I cried a little bit because what the fuck? What? Jurassic 5 wants to come on the show, or the people at least wanted them to come on the show? That's amazing, right? What is happening? What is happening here? Holy crap, man. Life is changing. Life is changing a lot, man. And I'll tell you what. So we did this anyway. I'll stop bragging, right? That sounds like a lot of bragging. And it is a little bit. I am very proud of where this show has ended up and the people that we are able to get on this show now. Like Soup, because Jurassic 5 was a huge part of my college years, man. Quality Control, the album Quality Control, was on my rotating playlist. I mean, just, you know, and back then I didn't even have a playlist. It was just the CD. It was the album, right? It was constantly in the CD player. I never had to take it out because it was so awesome. It was so fresh every time. Oh, my God. This was so great. What a dream come true. Soup on the show this week. I don't even know what to say. It's hotter than shit out here. We got an email the other day saying that, can we stop talking about the weather? And I will say, yes. We will eventually. It's just so hot over here, man. And Seattleites are not used to this stuff, right? I mean, this is not normal. This is not normal temperature for us over here. Okay, so when the temperature changes drastically during a month that normally is supposed to be raining constantly, June. I know. Yeah. Yes, we're in July now. But that's what we talk about over here, man. That's all we have on our minds because it's literally making us crazy. Like, people are driving worse. They drove bad already, but now they're driving worse. It's becoming Florida up here. People are going crazy with the heat because nobody has air conditioning in Washington. It's kind of a waste of money because it's not that hot, right? And when it does get hot here, it only sticks around for maybe a couple of days, maybe four tops. Now it's here for like a whole month. It's here for a whole month, and we're dying. We're dying. You're going to hear about it on the national media here soon, on the national news. Just whole state of Washington just shrivels up and turns into a raisin. Let's see. What else is coming up? Oh, 4th of July, man. I hope you guys all had a safe and sane 4th of July, those of you that live here in the United States. Yeah, mine was all right. Went up to the lake, spent most of it in the water. It was awesome. Very privileged to be able to do that. But then had to sit through a party that was going on two houses down that had some lame-ass band that was basically playing like Stevie Ray Vaughan covers, but like metal versions of those. And it wasn't even metal. You can't even call this stuff metal. It's like new metal. It's like what do you call it? Three Doors Down metal, right? That kind of crap. And it was just constant, man. It went on for like 2 hours. It was crazy. My grandma even called the cops. Called the cops. It wasn't even like quiet hours yet. It was only like 6 p.m. But she had had it. She had had it. And she called the cops. They never showed up. But I appreciated her sentiment because it was awful. But the problem was is that everybody around the lake then came over to this guy's property, basically just sat in the water and watched this band play and, you know, egged them on, right? Everybody's like, oh, live music. That's great. That's great. You know, clap, clap, clap. No thought as to what it was doing to them. You know, the bad tunes. Like, there could have been so much better bands. It's got to be great bands out there that would do that. Right? That would play your lake party, you jerks. All right, let's get into it, shall we? Have I gone on long enough? All right, let's do this. Let's talk with Soup, all right? God, this was so awesome. What is happening? What is happening here on the Air Raid Podcast? Who's coming up next week, you ask? Andrew W.K. Yeah, Andrew W.K. It's coming up next week. We've got Jurassic 5, Andrew W.K. I mean, come on. Oh, Jesus. Things are getting awesome over here at the Air Raid headquarters, folks. All right. Okay. Let's go with our first musical break, shall we? Concrete Schoolyard by the band Jurassic 5. And we'll be right back with our special guest this week, Soup of the band. All right? Stay with us.
The contribution is clear. You add water to bone and get the Jurassic 5 on the microphone.
Now if you like the tone
and how the harmony's done and the sucker MCs die before they begun,
well, I'd like to know if you got the notion,
cause we're number one. I'm not trying to say my style is better than yours, I'm just on some other shit. I'm all about the beats and the lyrics, so when you hear it, you can feel it. The vibe is energized by the presence of my spirit.
No interference, we persevere. The purpose is clear, we're here to leave your ear hurting severe. You're lurking in fear, cause we take it back like Robin Loxley. Rocking from countryside to spots where hard rocks
be. I often wonder if these MCs even know how it feels to dedicate their whole life to this mic of steel. It's not about the bill, that's not keeping it real. A lot of tight rappers out here ain't got no deal.
We appeal to the brothers with flow finesse, cause it's the 100-watt bloodshot game of death. Cause we're protected by the covenants of words and beats. Rewind and feel the heat, recline and take a seat.
So let's take it back to the concrete streets. Original beats for real live MCs. Playground tactics, no rabbit in a hat tricks. Just that classic rap from Jurassic. Let's take it back to the concrete streets. Original beats for real live MCs. Playground tactics, no rabbit in a hat tricks. Just that classic rap from Jurassic.
Now I walk from Transania, Earthquake Transylvania, and all the way I kick the hole through the wall of China just to get the right blend. Cause it's schizophrenic of the pen. Wait a minute, I fell into the deep end. You shouldn't have told me the pyramids can hold me. So now a contest is what you owe me.
Pull out your beats, pull out your cuts,
give us a mic,
what up, and we gon' tear shit up.
I'm on some old and forgotten, sun up to sun down, like picking cotton. The nutty professor, science dropping, rockin' Robin's hood from New York to Compton. Me and my three sons, Jabari, Shakir, and Compton.
So let's take it back to the concrete streets. Original beats for real live MC. Playground tactics, no rabbit in a hat tricks. Just that classic rap from Jurassic. Let's take it back to the concrete streets. Original beats for real live MCs. Playground tactics, no rabbit in a hat tricks. Just that classic rap from Jurassic. From you and
N-I-T-Y, do or die, anti-Illuminati. Why do the liquid from my vocals make the ghetto start swimming? Forever winning, I'm in it like metal log ribbon.
I get goosebumps when the bassline thumps. A sucker MC for style, he had mine for lunch. Mark 7, get you open like an attaché. Briefcase in this case, defeat there is no way.
With tool spinners, cooking a full dinner. Killing the firstborn,
a lyrical dual right now, man, besides when talking to me on the phone.
I was actually on computer read stuff, just looking up some, like, on some news blogs, seeing what was going on.
Do you watch much news?
Yeah, I do, but you know, it's the weather's gonna be hot. Six people died. The weather is hot, and six more people died. So that's basically what it is. Oh, and then it's like, Beyonce has a new video out, so that's what the news basically is now. So, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. That's why I don't pay attention. I try not to pay attention to it anymore, because it's just like a bunch of depressing shit, and then peppered with some sort of pop music star that has
right.
something happen
exactly.
in their life.
Exactly.
I don't care.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't either. So I agree.
But you're the one reading the news blogs, man.
Yeah, but you have to still stay informed, you know, to a certain extent. You know, you can't just be oblivious to what's going on, period. I don't care about a lot of stuff, but I still have to deal with, you know, certain things, you know.
Oh, so, sure, sure.
Yeah, so I still need to stay abrupt on topics, you know. But that don't mean when they tell me Beyonce has 17 new videos, I mean, that's not something that I'll sit and listen to, you know. But sometimes, you know, you hear about something, you know, some people getting murdered or something. It's like the South Carolina thing. I mean, I don't want to hear about it, but that's a pretty tough thing. So, you know, I still need to stay abrupt on certain things.
Well, sure. Yeah, and that's some heavy stuff right there, man.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Where are you calling in from? Are you in L.A.?
Yeah, I'm in L.A. Los Angeles.
Is your yard dead?
Is my what now?
Is your yard dead?
You know what? It's not looking as bad. It's not looking as bad. Some people are actually digging their yards up and putting dirt and rocks and all that other type of stuff.
Right, right.
Because of the drought. Yeah, because of the drought. It's funny, it's a drought, especially when you look and how, you know, the majority of the world is mostly water, and we're having a drought. I don't get it, but hey, okay, maybe it's not for me to get, but that's just crazy to me. But
it's not for you, for guys like you and me to figure out.
Yeah, it's for us to figure out, and pay. While we figure it out and abide by the restrictions while we're figuring out. But,
there you go.
You know, I don't know, man.
There you go. Well, you can just say, you can go like some of the rich people I heard are just painting their yards green now. So maybe
you can
do that. Yeah, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, when I turn rich, maybe I just move. How about that? I'm going to the paint place. Maybe I just move.
Hey, man.
I'll come to Seattle where it supposedly rains a lot. So maybe
there
I'll
you
do
go.
That.
We're going through a bit of a heat wave. The reason I asked if your yard was dead is because mine is totally brown now, and it's hot as shit up here, and I'm melting in my own
like
skin.
What? What's the temperature?
It's probably going to break 90 today, but it's super humid as well,
really?
You know? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm not used to Seattle. Hearing that coming out of Seattle, 90 degrees and humid? I'm not used to that. Wow.
Yeah, man. Well, okay. You guys are going to be here, this week?
Mm-hmm.
From when we're dropping this episode. So, on the 10th, you guys are playing the Showbox.
Yes.
And I'm very excited. Because
oh, cool.
I have never seen you guys play live. By the way, this is we're talking with Soup from the group Jurassic 5. Welcome mm-hmm. to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, dude, this is a big honor for me because in my college years, quality control was on heavy rotation on my CD player.
And you know what? It's funny because I do the same thing. Like if I met someone the music that I've enjoyed, you always go back to the thing about them, that about whatever album it was they had that really meant a lot to you. So they, you know, and I've always done that. So to hear somebody actually do that for something that I've been involved in, it's kind of mind blowing, because I know that's all I've ever done.
I've seen
Run-DMC, I've seen Prince, and you know, when you see people and you meet them and you think about, oh man, when you had, you know, King of Rock, and I was doing this, and I just played it and played. So it's a trip. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, man. It was a thing that I kind of figured out in college. Like everybody, I don't pay a lot of attention to lyrics, right? And you guys were my first major foray into the hip hop world. And you're welcome. But I couldn't, I don't know if I have the mind for it or not, but I could not keep up with the lyrics of hip hop. But all my friends could. And so they're sitting here reciting lyrics from songs on Quality Control, and I'm basically in the back of the car like pretending that I have flow and that I can keep up with it. So that's one major memory I have of my college years listening to Quality Control.
Right. Just trying to fit in, man. Like, right, I just want to fit. I understand. Sometimes you just want to fit in. That's funny because I haven't went to that extreme, but I've had other situations where, yeah, you don't really know, but I just want to fit in. It's usually when somebody said something and I didn't catch the joke.
Right.
But
right.
I laughed anyway because I'm just like, I just want to be like,
you just act like you know what they're talking about. You think, oh man, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Right. I am so lost, but man, I'm gonna laugh because I just want to be y'all friend.
That's totally right, man.
Don't worry about it. I got you, man. I got your back on that.
Hey, thank you so much. That means a lot. That means a lot, man. So, Soup, take me back a little bit. How did you get started with music, man? Was it in the household? Were you surrounded by it as a child?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was strictly through my father.
Yeah.
And it was funny because like a few years ago, I was talking to my mother. And I didn't know my mother was a big Temptations fan.
Oh really?
I was a grown ass man when I found that out, because she never would give any suggestions on the plan, but my father would play. He would play Temptations. He played James Brown. He played basically everything.
Right.
But it was more or less of his era. So I would hear. I would listen to stuff like the Coasters, Sam Cooke. Not really obscure, but the few people like O.V. Wright, Johnny Otis, stuff like, you know, kind of where, you know, you have to really dig to know certain people offhand like that. So my father was the main guy who played the music around the house. So you definitely was going to get a heavy dose of James Brown. You was going to get a heavy dose of Stevie Wonder. You was going to get a heavy dose of Fats Domino. And that's, it was cool. I dug it, though, man. I loved all of it. Was able to sing it around the house and just enjoy it.
Yeah. That was basically the opposite of what I was growing up with. My mom usually had control of the stereo, and so it was mostly like Mannheim Steamroller and Michael Bolton.
Oh, Michael Bolton. Wow.
And for the longest time, I thought Michael Bolton was a black guy.
Yeah, that's tough. And Michael Bolton, that's tough. That's tough, Aaron, man. Yeah, man, I feel for you, my brother. So now we're going to have to go to the show box and do extra hard. Because I just want to try to erase some of the Michael Bolton.
Man, this poor guy, I can see it right now. You guys are going to be up on stage and going to be like, look, there's this poor guy out here that grew up around Michael Bolton, and we want to make him feel better.
Right. And I always thought Michael could sing. I thought he had a cool voice.
Sure.
But, Michael Bolton, that's tough. So, but, you know, it sometimes it's like that, Mike. Sometimes it's like that, Aaron. We can't, we can't control. When we aren't paying the bills, we can't control the radio sometimes.
That's right. That's right, man. Yeah.
You just got to roll with it.
You get your hands slapped for trying to change the track.
So you grit your teeth and poke out your lip until the Michael Bolton Greatest Hit CD is over with, and then you try to run, get with your friends, and act like you know the lyrics.
Act like you know what's going on.
You know, so I feel you, man. Don't worry about it, Michael. Aaron, I got your back. Sorry.
Oh man, I'm feeling empowered already. So you're growing up with all these like Motown hits and everything like that. I mean, was there a lot of musical instrumentation going on in the house? Did your dad play
my
music?
My father played. He was self taught on the guitar. And
oh, cool.
Self taught on the harmonica. But and I remember in school I was playing the trumpet. I wasn't playing it very well.
Sure.
But I was playing the trumpet.
This was for like drums, for a choir,
yeah, like
choir class or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, with a school little band, and they had a music program at the school, and so I was like, okay, I want to play the trumpet. So I decided to play the trumpet. Actually, I wanted to play the trumpet really because some people had the trombone, and they would let us take the instruments home on certain
days. Oh yeah, yeah.
And I just didn't want to be carrying around a big trombone case. So I was like, okay, well, I'll do the trumpet. Some people had the flute, but I was like, the flute ain't masculine enough. So I was just like, let me blow the trumpet. And so it was cool, but I really wasn't great at it. But it was a nice experience.
Sure,
and then,
sure.
We also had a drill team. We had a drill team at the elementary as well. And I remember I wanted to play the drums because they would let you put the little drum around your neck strap and play the drum, and I really wanted to do that.
Yeah, be part of the line, right?
Yeah. I tried out for it, but I didn't make it. But it was still cool to do. But those are the two instruments for me. But my father self-taught guitar, self-taught harmonica, to play it really well. And so I do have some of that in me, but just not as much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a great thing for a kid to grow up with, man, is music around the house, you know? Constantly whether it just be, listen to the stereo constantly or actually having, like, a parent that knows how to play an instrument, man. Like, I feel like that is a very, very important thing for kids to grow up with.
Yeah, I think, it opens you up creatively,
Sure.
You know, because whether it's the beat or whether it's the lyrics, music teaches people. It definitely does, man.
Yeah.
It inspires and it evokes. It can do a lot of things, both good and bad. So
sure,
I dug it.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely definitely does inspire some bad as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
So what's walk me through your first stage experience? Like, was it in school in the school band?
But it wasn't music though. My first stage experience was acting.
Oh, really?
That's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to do music. I just like listening to it.
Sure.
And then I tell people I was totally fine of listening to music and going to your show and buying your shirt and leaving and talking about how dope it was. I was totally fine with that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to act. So being in front of people before I actually got on the stage to rap, it's a little different though.
Oh yeah. Big
because,
time.
Because for me acting, you knew the line, you had to know your lines and you could just get and completely engulfed in the character. So you can, when you act, you can tune out who's ever looking at you, can tune all that out. You can tune it all out and you could become that character. But for me, music was a lot more scarier because it was just like, no, this is me here.
Right.
I'm not playing a part. This is me, And so if I had people look at you, I was like, no, it's not any dialogue to this, It's just like, it was more spontaneous. All you had to do with acting is remember the lines, but
right.
You know, on stage with music, you have to be able to think on the drop of the gun. You know, I mean, sometimes acting is improvising, but music to me really was improvising.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a little different, yeah, but it was a lot, it was a little scarier.
So was this like high school age you're talking, or junior high, middle
school,
or something
like
that?
Well, yeah, junior high, yeah, because my first little acting experience was in elementary, and then when I got in junior high, if it was a play, I was part of that. When I got in high school, I definitely was in drama class, doing plays all the time, and I got popular in high school because of that, because I didn't know how I was going to be popular in high school, because I wasn't cool, I didn't dress great. You know what I'm saying?
What was your normal wardrobe?
Oh man, it wasn't secondhand. Yeah. It wasn't hand-me-down. It just wasn't fresh. I was in it. It just wasn't fresh. You know, so if it was, so if say for instance, if Nikes were the end thing.
Oh sure.
I didn't have the Nikes. I may have had the Converse All Star.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't in, you know, no more. You know, if I remember when Fila Shoes was out, and they were real popular here, I had a pair of L.A. Gear hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, you know, I wasn't going to win any Best Dress awards. So, you know. And that was my thing. But then I was just like, in high school, I remember I had my L.A. Gear in high school.
Yeah.
And I was, and it was my father had bought them, and I wanted Nike, but he was like, that's too expensive. He was like,
right.
Get these $19 L.A. Gear. I didn't have any money or any say-so to combat what he was saying, so I had to roll with it.
Right,
but I was like, I have to get a job. I was like, I can't take this. And I used to see people walking around in all the fresh gear, and I was like, damn, man, how are they doing it? So I was like, I got to be one of those people. But the drama class,
uh-huh.
Even though I wasn't fresh dressed, I was good at it. And so it made me popular. So sometimes when you're popular and you're good at certain things and you may not be the hippest or the coolest, people still accept you.
Sure.
They're like, well, yo, he's really good at this, though. You know, like, yeah he does dress well, but that's not his thing. Exactly. You know, it's like, it's not wardrobe. It's
right,
acting.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, that's how it works for me.
We can look past the L.A. Gear high-top shoes.
Please.
I got a story similar to that. My when the Air Jordans first came out, right, they were super, super hot. And they were so expensive. And then I think Nike Air kind of came out a little bit after that, right? And and still very expensive. Every kid had these, you know, these new Air Jordans, right? And like they're all suede, and you got to take care of them with like Scotch Guard and all that shit.
Right.
And so I pleaded with my parents, you know, and they finally went out and they got me these Nike Air shoes. Which probably at that time Nike made these like cheap kind of knockoff of themselves, you know, and there were these white vinyl Nike Airs, and I remember I was so proud to finally have a pair of Nike Airs, and I show up to school. This was in sixth grade, man,
right.
And I show up to school in these Nike Airs, and I'm like, "Hey, everybody, look at that!" Right,
right,
and then everybody just fucking. Just climbed all over me, man, and they were just like, those are fake. Those are fake Nike Airs. They're not even real leather. And it was the worst.
Right.
It's the absolute worst,
had,
man.
You had on the Air Ike.
Right, right. Yeah.
You didn't have the Air.
Yeah, yeah.
You had the Air Ike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
The Nike people and brother shoes, right?
Like, right, right. Yeah, you flip the tongue over and it said "Made in Taiwan,"
or "Made in Oakland."
That's right.
Somewhere in the state. Oh,
yeah.
Made in Fargo, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, exactly.
Right.
Were you born and raised in L.A.? Were you a California kid?
Yes, yep, California kid. And it's funny because you run into so many people, and it's like, "Where are you?" I was born and raised in L.A. And people, you know, a lot of people are like, "Really?" I'm like, yeah, because usually somebody, they migrate here. You know?
Sure.
Somebody, well, I'm from so-and-so, and we moved here when I was 3, you know, but this stuff like that. But no, I was born and raised here, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's great, man. I mean, that's it's got to be kind of crazy to see the changes that that city has gone through.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you know what? But it's not just, it's just period.
And sure.
It doesn't, you know, I remember when you could, but that was growing up when it was young. I remember when you could walk around and certain things wasn't in existence back
right.
then. But, you know, now it's, L.A. is crazy. L.A. is, you know, and it's funny to hear people take on it because, you know, if they don't think it's just movie stars walking around, athletes walking around, you know, they think everybody, a lot of people think everybody from L.A. or a lot of people, the majority of people from L.A. are mistaken phony.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
It's just, yeah, and it's just, you know, because it's a Hollywood, you know, so it's a trip. You know, it's a trip. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. Same thing with Seattle. I grew up here, you know, and just seeing kind of the way things change up here. And now it's kind of like that L.A. feeling, too, where it's like, oh, you were born and raised here? Wow. You know, that's kind of strange.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly. I actually have a friend that lives up there.
Oh,
right,
yeah?
Right now, yeah, right now. Well, the last time we was out there, maybe last year or something, I didn't even know he was living out there. He actually came to see us perform, and he came on the bus, and we started, because I hadn't seen him in a while, and we started talking, and he was like, yeah, I'm out here now. And I was like, really? Because I've looked out there, and I like Seattle, and I just like green, and I don't have a problem with the rain. And I'll ask somebody. He was like, "He said it's rain." He said, "But sometimes it's like a drizzle."
Yeah,
he
sure.
Was like it's not, you know. Yeah, he was like, "But see, I like the overcast because I'm from LA. I've been dealing with the sun all my life. I like the overcast and stuff." But I don't know now. You're talking about it's 90 degrees and it's humid. I don't know now. Maybe Fargo is.
North Dakota, man. More your speed now, right?
Stuff like that, yeah. But, no, I always like Seattle, man. It's real nice, real green.
It is, man.
Real,
it is
real
definitely,
green, man.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So let's get back on track here. We're talking, you know, you were into acting. That's what you wanted to do. Did you make an effort to try to become like a legit actor out of school?
Oh, yeah, I used to go on auditions.
Really?
I used to go on auditions. And the funny thing,
like for play, are you talking like plays
movies?
TV shows.
There's a show called 227 with Marla Diaz back in the day.
Okay. Yeah.
Amen with Sherman Hemsley,
yeah.
George Jefferson. Yeah, I went on an audition for that show.
You didn't get in, though.
Oh, it sure did. And the funny thing about it, every time I went on an audition, and I'm not leaving on the air, every time I went, it would rain.
Yeah?
It would rain. Like, we had talked, L.A., it'd be sunny today. Say if my audition was tomorrow, it's sunny right now.
Yeah.
You go outside right now, it'd be sunny. So tomorrow, my audition, it was gonna rain.
Somebody was trying to tell you something, man.
They told me something. They told me, and I was just like, you know what? Hey, let me just stop. It would rain all the time. I was like on 4 auditions, and it rained, man, and I never got the part.
Oh,
I was
no.
Just like, man, maybe this ain't for me, man. I said, but the day I go on an audition and it's sunny, I'm going to become a superstar, a famous movie actor.
So did you ever find yourself like trying to nail that down with the forecast? Like, did you ever try to line that up?
No. After a while, it's funny because when I was doing that, then the music came into play. So it was a really, really smooth transition.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was a really, really smooth. It wasn't like I was going beating the pavement to go try to get these acting gigs and it never worked and I just got discouraged. It wasn't anything like that.
Yeah.
It just was I was going out doing them. I was still in school, so even though I was going on auditions, I still had something to occupy my time.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't like I had, you know, it wasn't like I was looking at beat magazines to find out where they were auditioning and how Helen holding the casting calls. It wasn't anything like that. I thought it was fun, but I wanted to get this the book again. I would have definitely wanted to do that. But sure. The music came in, man, during my high school years. And when music came in, it just flowed next to each other, and I jumped right on the music train, and that's what took me to the promised land.
Wow, man. So how did that come up? What kind of music, and walk me through that a little bit.
Well, I used to sing way better when I was younger before I burnt out my throat, but I used to sing a whole lot better back then. But I wanted to sing, and then with hip-hop came, I definitely wanted to do that, but I was used to the Gap Band,
sure.
Michael Jackson, Prince. So those, you know, that was my thing, and hip-hop was cool, but I never saw myself doing it until Run DMC came out.
Yeah.
And then when Run DMC came out, I just liked everything about them.
Right, right. Was it kind of a mind-opening experience when you first heard that?
Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, I had heard Sugar Hill.
Sure.
I heard Grandmaster Flash, Fearless Four. I heard them, but it was something about Run. I couldn't see them. That's what it probably was. I couldn't see them like I saw Run DMC.
Right,
because
right.
Because, I didn't see Rapper's Delight video.
Right.
Until after I seen Run DMC. You know what I'm saying? So maybe if I would have seen those things, it would have been them. But for me, it was Run DMC and it was Rockbox. And I remember seeing Rockbox and I seen those leather suits they was in. And I was just like, that's what I'm talking about.
It all comes back to the clothes.
Yeah, man. That's what it was. And I was like, that's fly. I said, I just knew it was a leather suit. It didn't have any name on it, but I was just like, they look dope. With the turtleneck and the hat. And man, it was just dope.
Yeah,
and, so Run DMC kind of got me into that. And but at the same time, I still just enjoyed the music.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But, and then once I got to high school and I start meeting, I met Akil.
Uh-huh.
And I remember my uncle had he used to work for the gang task force. I won't say the task force, I'm lying now. He worked for a gang organization, you know,
okay.
to stop young folks, you know, from getting involved in gang
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
And they had a rap piece thing, and he asked me, could I rap? And I was lying, but I was just like, of course I can. You know, you're young, you cocky. I'm like, of course I can. So
right.
He's like, okay, cool. Well, we're having this rap for peace thing, man. You need to come on down and do it. He says, you got to write your own original song. And now I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm like, my mouth, you know, I just stuck my foot in my mouth. I was like, my big mouth got me in trouble. So but I did it. I went, and it was very corny, but I did it.
Yeah.
And I remember going to the show. My uncle was like, and I figured I had a win. That's how I used to think. I figured if I knew you and I knew you well and you was running the competition, I figured that, hey, man, only thing I have to do is show up.
Yeah.
Because my uncle was running, so I'm going to win first prize. And I remember he told me, you know, do this. This is what they're looking for. We're looking for this, that. So I did everything he told me to do. Went up there, man, and the kid. These two kids, this fat dude who was beatboxing to this other kid, he had on a black Run DMC hat, an Adidas sweatshirt on.
Sure.
And they song had nothing to do with being peaceful. It wasn't about doing any violence, but at that time it was just about, I'm fly, I'm dope, I gotta, you know, that was what it was about.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't about shooting people back then. And they came out and did that, and the crowd went off.
Yeah.
And they won. And I went to my uncle. I was like, man, wait a minute, man. I was like, you told me to do this, that, and the third. I did everything. I complied with all the rules.
They broke the rules.
Why didn't I win? Right. I was like, why didn't I win? And he was like, did you see how they was doing the crowd? He was like, we couldn't have gave it to you.
Right.
They were the people. They were the people champ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that.
There would have been a riot.
It was a learning experience.
So, sure,
and I was
sure.
just like, man, you know, it's about saying something, you know. And, well, I feel you you should say something to a certain extent, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, people want to be entertained, man. I think people want to be entertained more than they want to be told something positive. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. Well,
and,
that's
and I think you have to do it. I think, I'm not to cut you off here, but I think,
if you
entertain them and throw the message in, they're more acceptable to take it.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to just coming in and saying, don't do it, don't say it, don't do it, we got to do it. No, but if you come in and do the beat they like, you know, the flavor and the cadence is dope, they get with it. And that's what I learned right then and there. So the next time, the next year they had another rap piece, and this time I knew I'd kill for him because we went to the same high school.
Uh-huh.
And I knew he could rhyme, and I was just like, man, I'm going to get him. I said, and now we're going to win.
Yeah,
we didn't win again, but that kind of that started. I forgot my verse, and I started freestyling. So that was funny because we practiced.
Yeah,
we went up. Yeah, he was cool. I forgot my verse.
Yeah,
I started freestyling.
How'd it go? It went
very well.
Yeah. Okay.
Freestyle
good.
Went very well, and right then and there, another lesson. I was like, oh man, I can freestyle a little bit. And so that made me even more hype. And then I wanted to be a hype man, though. I didn't want to really rap. You know, because
yeah.
back in the day, Public Enemy was up there, Flavor. I said, oh, man, I want to be a hype man.
Yeah.
And I told Akil that, you know, since he was like the main rapper, I was like, man, let me be your hype man. And he was like, no, man, you're going to be a part of this. You got to rhyme. And I was like, oh, here we go again. And I was like, nah, doctor, you know what I'm saying? But it worked out. Sorry if it was so long, but it worked out. Sorry.
That's for
so
sure.
Long.
Well, let's do this. Let's go to our second musical break, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Soup, from the group Jurassic 5. Be back in a moment.
Your mind, body, and soul, for whom the bell tolls, let the rhythm explode. Big, bad, and bold, be boys of old. Many styles be home, let the story be told. Whether platinum or gold, we use breath control. So let the beat unfold, intro on drum roll. We be the lick like Itash and J-Bone. We harass like we was the po-po. We can rule the world without Curtis and still blow. Finesse from SP to Casio. Your chance ain't deaf, you ain't fresh, so-so. If you don't know us by now, you never know. We set that mood when we move and prove the show. The name of the game is survive and move your flow. You can't out-take Jurassic syllable, cause it's survival of professional radio. Stop and comprehend and heed the words of my pen. Survival of professional poetic Highlander.
Soup, you plan to rock or something fierce?
Oh, am I? Doc is the name, the AKA Super. The verbal acupuncture, funky dope, old schooler. I used to be the brother for others they used to dumb on. Now they be the lovers of brothers they can't front on. Put me in the mix, LP 12-inch. SP, the elegant, poetic pestilence. I'm carbonated, my Santa confederated. Highly commemorated and the most celebrated for connecting it. Word, verb, subject to the predicate. Plus, I got the etiquette to keep it moving and show my cats how it's done, cause it's the verbal combat position number one.
Keep it beaming like a beacon if it's lyrics that you're seeking. Whether black or Puerto Rican, people back us when we're speaking. We got the kind of rhymes to get you ready for the weekend.
To the mass amount of legions that came for party pleasing.
Our temperature is freezing, all kinds of different regions. The rhythm is the reason you're checking for what we've done. Please, son, our thesis. So rip your crew in pieces. Your rhymes ain't right. Homeboy, you ain't a season.
And so my quality control captivates your body patrol. Your mind, body, and soul. For whom the bell tolls, let the rhythm explode. Big, bad, and bold.
Well, it's the angelic man, relic plan, repellent, my plan, parent man. Your scripts withstand bullets, flashing like a Japan tourist. We command pure hits while you cramming to understand these contraband lyrics. My fam submits to pray 5 times a day, climbing into your mind with live rhyme display. J5 finds a way to remain supreme, coming verbally harder, son, as if my name was Kapoor.
Yo, my team dream works without Spielbergs or spill words. Communicate from the earth throughout the universe. I transmit transcripts, transcontinental lyrics, deeply rooted in the spirit. I love the power of words, nouns and verbs, dependent and sword, linguistic or the war. No folklores or myths in my penmanship.
The path of scholar warriors is what I present, verbally decapitating those against, Jahafi, Sibili, my words make sense. She got to get up on your vocab, you got to have vocab. Letters make words and sentences makes paragraphs.
All right, so the that second competition didn't end up like you thought it was going to either, but I mean, it sounds like after that second show that you, was this like the second show that you had done?
Yeah, this was
with Rappin'?
Yeah, this was like this is the second show that I had done like that, and the second show didn't pan out as well. But then
now you have the itch though, right?
Yeah, I have the itch, and I also was I was also able to see how other people were. There was some groups up there that was way more tight.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just, and so, but then it goes back to, hey man, you have to entertain the people.
Sure.
You know, that's also where the first time I met Click Superlat. If you're familiar with Click Superlat, he's a beatbox.
Okay.
He beatbox, and he put out an album. He was actually on one of his songs on his album. But I met Click there, and now his son Tech Superlat is doing music. And I knew the son when he was basically since he was born.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that experience let me know, you know, that you had to have a tight show. You have to entertain the people. But then that started up Rebels of Rhythm for me with IKEA. It was already the Rebels of Rhythm, but that kind of incorporated me in there to become one of the MCs in that particular group. So,
right. And what year are we, talking here?
Oh, man, we talked 88.
88.
And talking, yeah, we talking about 87, 88, probably somewhere from there. Yeah, yeah.
And that's when things with rap and hip hop are really starting to pick up, right?
Oh, it was popular. Yeah, it was beautiful back then, man. Yeah. It was everything. It was everything. It's not right now. You know what I'm saying? It was playful. It was serious. It was original. It was creative. It was all that stuff.
Yeah,
you had a variety of people. It was a nice balance for every person that came out. Sounded like, I don't know, NWA, if he wasn't into all that cursing. For every NWA, there was a public enemy.
Sure.
You know, for every Fat Boys, there was somebody, you know, else. But it was just really dope, man. Really dope. Man.
Yeah. So it sounds like it was a pretty exciting time for you as well, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was my my mid to late teens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everything was important, and that's when you was really getting into girls and music and fashion. So it was really dope, man.
I bet there was a fair share of girls then, right?
Oh, no. the funny thing, side note, I always talk about how when guys come out, you know, and do music, they always the coolest.
Yeah.
They've always been the coolest. From the time before you even knew who they were to now. You know, it's like, they got all the girls. I was like, man, stop lying. So I didn't get all the girls. I got a couple, but I didn't have a lot of money. I had no money, Aaron, to be honest with you. I didn't have no money. And at that time, during those late 80s, the dope game was real tough out in L.A. And lot of girls were dealing with dope dealers who had a car to be cops on the heat. I had none of that. I was getting $2 and $2 from my father every day in high school. And sometimes I wouldn't spend it that day, so the next day I could have $4 and I could get it. Knock your fries.
Right, right.
First, I could get the soda, but now I can get the fries and the soda. I couldn't get that hamburger.
Yeah,
that was $8.
So what do you think kept you away from that, man? I mean, you were kind of
my father. But I tried my hand at it.
Did you?
Yeah, I tried my hand at it. Made $700.
Mm-hmm.
Had $700, and $700 and a bunch of dirty magazines underneath my bed.
Oh, shit.
I thought that was a good hiding place for all my little contraband at the time.
That's basically where every high school male is hiding shit.
He'll never check under here.
Right.
I was like, I don't know what I was more mad over, that just my $700
or the magazines,
my dirty magazines. Yeah, I was like, man, I got to keep one. I was like, you can't take all of it,
Dad.
Not all of it.
Oh, man. you must have been in big trouble right there.
No, I wasn't, because I lied about where the money came from.
Uh oh.
So I lied about that. But it was tough though. He didn't believe me, but at the time I didn't think he thought I was doing that, but he definitely didn't know. He was like, where did this money come from?
Right.
And I was just like, I don't know what I was saying, but you know, and I didn't get a whooping. That's what I thought. I didn't get a whooping, but I was just like, man, I said, I'm glad he didn't get physical, but I said, I think that's kind of whack that he just stole my damn porno mag. I said, that ain't cool. I get that $700 back. Page number 35, that girl was real cute. I don't know if I'm going to ever see her again.
Poor kid.
But to be honest, to my father, and my father wasn't... He wasn't having that. And to be honest with you, not only was my father not having it, I wasn't built for that.
Right.
I wasn't built for that. Man, I wasn't built for the gang life.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be shot. I didn't want to go to jail. I didn't want to have to be somewhere and be fighting all the time, because I know me. I'm gonna get caught slipping. I'm gonna get caught slipping and not paying attention. I know how I am. So I wasn't built for that, man. Trying to come to grips with who I really was and my father, that's what stopped everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great, man. That's a testament to, having a good family life, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Having a solid, parental structure there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, without question.
So was that it? Like, when you got caught, was that like, you're kind of Jesus moment and okay, no more.
Yeah, that was after that. I was just like, I was just like, Soup, you have no skills. You have, your line ability is not good. You have the worst hiding places in America. So I was like, that's not cool.
This ain't going to work.
It's not going to work. I was like, you know what you need to do? You need to think about a summer job. I was like, that's more up your alley. A summer job. And you know how the little devil and angel come on the shoulder?
Uh-huh.
And angel came and was like, I see summer job in your future. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to roll with you. Right. And so I got a job, and then I was able to get stuff that I wanted to get, you know. And,
sure.
And at the same time, you know, get a lot of pats on the back. My father was like, man, I'm glad you got a gig. And, you know, people looked at you different.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, man, he's a working guy. You know, he ain't about no BS. He worked. So it was good.
Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic, man. When did we're gonna jump forward a little bit here? But when did things start taking off musically for you?
Well, I used to work for I used to do college promotions for Loud Records.
Oh, okay.
I interned at Immortal Records, and at the time, Immortal Records had Funk Dubious. I interned there. I wasn't getting paid because internship.
Yeah, sure.
No pay. But then a buddy of mine who worked at Loud, he was like, he actually got me the intern job. But then I told him, I said, man, I love the job. I said, but man, I need some money. And he was like, but I think we have an open here. He talked to, the guy at the time, Steve Riskin, who owned Loud. And Risk was like, yeah, man, we can come in. It wasn't much money, but I went from making nothing to a little. So
yeah.
I wasn't really upset.
Now, was the reason you were seeking out jobs at a record label was to kind of learn the inner workings of everything, or?
You know what? It fell in my lap. I just needed a job. Aaron.
Sure,
fell into my. I just needed a job. But then when I found out what kind of job it was, I said, oh, wow, not only will I be doing something I'm pretty sure I'll enjoy. I'll get all the new music. I'll know where all the shows is. I'll be able to get in the shows with comps, free comps. I was like, I think this will work. And that's exactly what happened. Then before I left Loud Records, I got to see Wu-Tang. I got to see Wu-Tang come from nothing to Wu-Tang. That was dope. I was real instrumental on getting Mobb Deep signed to Loud.
Really?
Yeah. If you look at the back of the Infamous album, you'll see my government name. Extra special thanks to government name, Soup.
Yeah.
Government name. You know, your first government name, Soup, parentheses, and my last government, the last government. You get to see that. But thing was, is I was still young. I wasn't thinking I could have parlayed that probably into an A&R job.
Yeah.
Not at Loud, somewhere else. But I really wasn't thinking because right after, I never got the fruits of that.
Right.
But
I did
get a gold record. It did hit me up with a gold record for the Infamous. So that was dope.
Oh, that's awesome.
Gold record for Wu-Tang and the gold record for the Infamous. So that was dope.
Oh, that's cool.
But from Loud, I went to Interscope. And from Interscope, that's when Death Row was popping. So I got to see a lot of that great.
Yeah.
You know, and
is that
J5
where
started to work? I'm
right.
Sorry, Aaron, go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to ask. Like, is that that's kind of when J5 was formed, right?
Mm-hmm. J5 started popping. Well, it wasn't really J5 at the time. It was, we didn't even have a name.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a 12-inch that we wanted to do that we paid for and pressed it. But the beautiful thing was, me doing college radio, I was able to send some copies to DJs across the country that I knew that I was really cool with out of the before with that would play it and get it charted, because back then they had college charts.
Right.
So it would
get
charted and people used to watch, look at those. And so when I got it charted, I was moonlight. Interscope found out and they fired
me. Oh, no.
Yeah. Interscope found out and they fired me, and they actually fired me in Miami because there was a convention that I should have been at, to be honest, and they didn't let me go. But I decided, but I was told that J5 probably get on the showcase there. So I came up with some lie that I was sick for the next 3 days. And we caught plane tickets. We got some top plane tickets and went. And I remember my co-worker who I was working with, man, came out and he announced it to the whole convention that I was fired. He was drunk, so he was loud. He was like, D, they fired you. Oh, you don't have no job no more. And all the people who I knew there was looking at me like, Soup, for real? And I was like, I guess so, because I was like, I didn't know. So they fired me. And then J5 just started to work, man.
Yeah.
And then we got a friend of mine from Blunt TVT at the time.
Uh-huh.
Beatnuts was on there. I don't know. I think it was Mike Geronimo was on Blunt. There was a couple other people. They signed us to a 12-inch deal with the Unified Revolution song.
Now, what did that experience feel like? Was that like,
like wow, man, this could be it. This could be it. I could all around MC shows and UTFO shows I've seen, and I could be one of them dudes.
Yeah.
I could be one of them dudes now, but it didn't pan out.
Yeah.
They didn't want to commit to an album.
And so they just paid. They just paid for like an EP or something.
No, just a 12-inch deal.
Okay, gotcha.
But we thought we could parlay it to, you know, something more than a 12-inch deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen. Then we put out the J5 EP. And from there, that's when it took off.
And you did that by yourself?
Yeah, we did that by ourselves, man. And we just put it out there. It took off, man. And then now, you know, the world knows a J5, man.
Yeah. Now, when did you guys start touring? Was that soon after you guys released your...
Well, I remember... we put our Unified Revolution, and this guy named Mick got a hold of it, and he used to put it on these things called Fresh Fest.
Uh-huh.
It was Fresh Fest 97.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. I'm looking at it. Fresh Fest 97. And that was the first time this is the first time I was on a plane flight that long, and the first time I ever went over to Europe, all of us really, and we performed there, and that just blew our minds. We got to meet Grandmaster Cass.
Oh my
Special
God.
K. It was just not a rock. It was really, really dope. And
Were you jumping out of your skin, or were you trying to keep it cool?
Keeping it cool, but, you know, going crazy. Going crazy. Trying to keep it cool, but going crazy. And to hear them guys say, man, we dig y'all. I was just like, wow, man. And then we did the EP. Once we got back, we did the EP. And then Playing Against Sam was the name of the place out in Europe. They got a hold to it. And the next thing you know, it was like they wanted to sign it. It was like, put a couple more songs on it. Let's make it like an album.
Yeah.
And then they was like, come out here. And I didn't know what to expect.
Uh-huh.
I don't like flying. So I was just like, I'm going to bite the bullet. But I was like, I don't like flying. And then if you said 9 hours on a flight of flight me, I'm going ballistic inside as well.
Yeah.
But we flew out there, man, and we got treated like royalty. We looked in the magazines, and we were like, pick of the week, the pick of the album for the month.
No shit.
And we get these reviews would be like, out of 5 stars, we got 5 stars, or four and a half stars. And it was just like, these guys are the darlings of hip-hop. These guys are the same. And I was just like, seriously? And
see, you had no idea that was going on over in Europe.
Not like that. Once we got there,
because
I remember it coming out, and I remember it was a buzz. It was a cool buzz. It was kind of picking up. People started kind of knowing. But overseas, just, that was the first place we got our gold record for the EP.
Oh, my God.
We got a gold record for the J5E. And that was just everything we needed to know about the business, performing in front of huge people. And we learned it over there. They that was our what they call it, that was the getting the feet wet. And, I mean, they treated us like we were Elvis Presley or some damn body. Like, we was the Rolling Stones. They treated us well.
And
everybody wanted to talk to us, take pictures. I seen people crying. I was just like, man, they crying. I was like, oh, me? I was like, no, maybe their elbow hurt. I was like, maybe their elbow hurt. They get their elbow coming in the door, and now they crying. But no, they was crying because the you soup. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive.
You're trying to, you do the same thing I do, man. You're trying to talk yourself out of being being important.
Well, you know what? I don't never want to be the person of, you know, if I'm doing what I need to be doing, then that's just what it is.
Sure,
to come into the room and be like, hey, y'all, everything should stop. Because you know why? I'm important. No, I think that's corny.
I think
that's real corny. Yeah, it's just like, man, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, man, they'll toot your horn for you. I don't have to do it, because if I do it, you're going to find a way to try to mess the instrument up. So how about you just do it? I like that.
So things are starting to pop off for Jurassic 5. You guys start with this amazing tour over in Europe, and I would imagine that you're selling out venues over there. What happens when you get back to the U.S.?
It was cool.
Yeah,
it was cool, but in my opinion, it took U.S. a little longer.
Sure.
Because the U.S. was into their thing, you know. To me, overseas, if you look at the history of it, I'm going to go back, we're like, Muddy Waters was no longer popping over here.
Right.
They love, he was a king over there, and it revives careers. Nina Simone, they didn't want to deal with her because she was too political.
Uh-huh.
She goes over there, and they love her. Tina Turner, they just have a different vibe for it. It's a different appreciation for the music over here, and I'm from here, so I figure I can say it.
Yeah.
But over here, it's like, you know, oh really, you pop it today? Oh, that's great, but we ain't feeling you come 11 o'clock later on tonight.
right.
We're on to the next, and then they'll get rid of you. You're so disposable over here. And people, someone like, J5 got a show. Oh, man, really? J5 got a show? Man, I don't want to hear so-and-so. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't no problem with that. But my thing is, it's just that, but it's usually like that. I think it's worse than hip hop.
Right, right.
I think it's worse than hip hop because hip hop is like, if you're not pop no more, it'll definitely get you out the door. But then you look at people like George Benson or Herbie Hancock, and you're like, man, Herbie Hancock beat out Kanye West for the album of the year, the Grammys a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, this man is in his 70s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he passed his prime, but it's just like, it's a different age. Different genres of music, they don't diss their people as hard as hip hop.
Sure, yeah. So when did things start winding down for J5? I mean, you guys broke up in what, like, or you disbanded for a little while?
07.
07?
Yeah, 07. You know, I have to be careful with this answer.
Yes.
Because, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not setting out to trap you or anything like that. But
no, but in 2007 or six when we put out Feedback, and that's when it was kind of winding down. The business is a tough business, man. All the little stuff you hear about the business, man. Please don't think it ain't true. Please don't think it ain't true, because it's really true, and it's a lot of times it's a whirlwind, man. You know,
oh,
it's
sure.
Like when you're out of the ocean, and they say, well, you know, they got caught the current.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you can't swim against fate. You try. You give your heart.
Right.
You try, but it'll sweep you, man, and I think that's what it is. And it was a variety of things.
Sure.
J5, it was a variety of things, but it was good though, man. I'm not, at the same time, I could be critical about it because I was a part of it. I was one of the founding people for it. But at the same time, I can't be too critical because J5 got me to see the world. And to be honest with you, Aaron, I didn't know if I was gonna ever see the world in that capacity. Now, if you would have flew me to Fargo.
Yeah,
I might have been like, "Oh, this is it. It's old, but this is it." It don't get no better than Fargo, my man.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? So I got a chance to not only bypass Fargo,
but
go to some other spots that I never even dreamed about.
That's
so
for
I don't
sure,
be
man.
Critical on it.
Yeah. Now, what happened to you when things kind of slowed down?
What happened
and
to me was is that I was in North Carolina and it was going. It was going good for me. You know, I still had my finance was cool. But then when my finances went dry, man, I came back to L.A. because I was like, I have to make something happen. Because North Carolina, I didn't know nobody. I didn't have no family down there, no friends. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
It was more like a refuge, you know, at that time, just to get away from the hustle and bustle of L.A. But I had to come back, and I started working a job, man. I was working at a place called Sea Dwelling Creatures.
Sea-dwelling creatures.
Yeah, sea-dwelling creatures. It was a place where they buy exotic fish and stuff like that. And
I had read somewhere, and you don't have to go into this if you don't want to, so don't feel obligated. But I had read somewhere in my minimal amount of research on you that I do before the show that you were homeless for a little bit.
When you came back to LA? Yeah, no, not when I came. Well, you know what? See, my thing, if you're a family, Aaron, and I'm staying at your house, to me, I'm homeless. I ain't got my own place. You know what I'm saying? If you decide, it's like, look, man, you can't sleep here no more. I would be sure. So but my family, you know, I was staying there.
Okay.
I was homeless, man.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't sleeping up and you getting called.
Hold on, you're breaking up a bunch.
I'm sorry. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I gotcha.
I said I wasn't like you know, homeless sleeping on the street.
Okay.
You know, eating, digging through the trash can or nothing like that. But I just didn't have nothing to call my own.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, that's homeless. And I don't, you know, I didn't want to make it sound like, you know, I was at the bottom of it and, I was living under the freeway or anything
sure,
like that.
Sure.
It wasn't that, but I wasn't used to not having my own.
Right.
All my life I had my own stuff, you know, so to not have it all of a sudden, you know, it was a problem in that because I'm dependent on people.
Now, how are you doing? I mean, that's got to be what's going through your mind at this point, Soup? I mean, that sounds like because you guys were on top of the world and then all of a sudden it just comes crashing down.
You know, it was like, how did I get to this?
Right.
And it was like, how did I get to this? But at the same time, it wasn't tough for me, but I was kind of going back and forth. Was like, man, I should have been more selfish. I should have been looking out for me.
I get that.
And not thinking group. I should have been thinking individual.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going through. But at the same time, it's like, I can't do it like that. I can be selfish to a certain extent, but man, if we supposed to be rolling, I didn't grow up like that. My thing
right.
was is if we roll it and I got money and you don't, and it's and we both hungry, I don't sit around there and get a hamburger and then have you holding napkins until I'm finished eating, and then you hand me this napkin to wipe my mouth. I think we gonna and you gonna get what I get.
Sure.
If I'm getting shrimp, you're going to get shrimp. That's how I did it. But, you know, everybody don't roll like that. And I wish I had thought of it like that, but I don't know how comfortable I would have been with myself.
Well, you sound like, I mean, you know, if the music of Jurassic 5 is any testament to the type of person you are, and I can tell after having this conversation with you, too, is like you sound like a very positive person, man. And
I think I am. I mean, some people may beg to differ, but some people. It all depends on who you ask.
Sure,
because you know I always say, you know, as many people got something bad to say about, I can find just as many people that can vouch for them.
Sure.
So it's all, you know, it's just that balance, man. And even the people that got something bad to say about me, if you dig far enough into what they're saying, they would have to vouch for me too at a certain point.
Right, right.
So it's just, you know, it's just one of those type of things, man. But, you know, growing up, it wasn't about leaving people who you got love for behind.
Right.
But whether I feel that and somebody else may feel that or don't feel that ain't my concern. If
mm-hmm.
that person ain't like that, that ain't my concern. Yeah, I'm an emotional cat, and I wear my heart on my sleeve a lot of times.
Sure.
So I will think about it, and I may call you a few choice words, but at the same time, man, all in all, you know, nobody's obligated. So I just was really thinking, like, man, how did it get to this point? Why did I let it get to this point?
Right, right.
But things happen for a reason, man. And then I just started working jobs, and then sometimes people would roll up on me and be like, hey, man, ain't you? And sometime I would say yeah, sometime I wasn't. One time I was on the bus, and the bus was crowded. And this guy was like, man, I know you, man. And I was just like, man, I sure hope this brother don't think I owe him no money or stuff like that. And he was like, J5. And I was like, nope. And he knew I was lying.
Right, right.
He was like, man, please. But he played it cool. But I was embarrassed.
Right.
I was on the bus. I was embarrassed. I was like, man, here this dude loving J5, and I'm getting on the bus. I'm embarrassed. Now, not to say I had to be in a Cadillac, but perception is a muscle.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And at that time, I wasn't comfortable enough with myself to sit around there and say, hey, man, I'm on the bus. It's just what it is.
Uh-huh.
I tell you that in your face all day now since I'm older and have some experience, but I didn't want to say it back then, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Yeah, that's kind of man. That's tough. And being in that situation too, it could have gone, you know, one of two ways. You could have gone totally negative with it, or you could
mm-hmm.
be on the path that you chose and stay positive and make it out, man. And I applaud you so much for that.
Thank you, man. And let me tell you, they don't change. That's mm-hmm. what I learned. The
Sure.
They don't change. When good stuff happens to you, the sun still come up, 12 o'clock still come, the evening time still come, then you go to sleep. And all good stuff happens to you that day. So the next day when the bad stuff happens to you, the day stay the same. It's just the situation may change. But I can't be sitting around here giving you high fives, doing windmills on the floor because I just got a $70 check. And then the difference when I get a $5 check the next day, I'm kicking and knocking Cheetos out your hand. I can't do it like that. It's just something I got to be able to roll with the day the way it comes to me, man. And it's hard. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. I'm not saying that I mastered that, but I'm striving for it. And that's just what it is, man. And I'm no longer embarrassed about me.
Right.
I'm no longer embarrassed, man. If I did it, I'll admit it.
You're owning it.
Yeah, I got to admit it, even though I don't maybe not want to deal with the consequences, but I still got to ride with it because I can't get nobody to take the slack for it.
Yeah, dude.
But, you know, so I'm just me now. So if you like me, great. If you don't like me, that's cool, too.
I do like you.
Thank you, Aaron, because I like you, man, because you let me talk up a whirlwind. Brother, I appreciate it. And I hope
I'll tell you this.
This interview, appreciate it.
I hope so too, man. But I'll tell you this. If you ever kick a Cheeto out of my hand, I'm going to be pissed.
Yes. Bruh, let me tell you. When I was growing up, Cheetos was my favorite.
Oh, man.
Cheetos was my favorite.
Have you had the jalapeno Cheetos?
See, but that's why I got to stop.
Oh.
You give me this. I'm a very simple man. You give me the regular original Cheetos to where after I eat the bag, I can lick all four of my fingers off.
Yep.
I'm good.
Yep.
When you start making them hot, you know, and you open them and they eat them and they, you know, an extra burst in your mouth, I can't do all that.
Well, okay. You're not that old, but you gotta at least just try it for me, all right? Will you just do that? Will you do me a solid?
One, because I don't eat spicy food.
Oh, you're not a spicy guy at all. Okay.
No, because I got acid reflux.
Oh, yeah.
See, I ain't going to be able to call you on my acid reflux and blame you and be like, Aaron, my acid reflux because of that jalapeno Cheeto. You're going to hang up.
That's when you start letting the expletives fly, right?
Right. And because I'm going to be cursing a whole lot. But no, Cheetos, regular Cheetos. But no, I won't knock them out the hand, I promise.
Okay,
man.
Thank you. So things get back, you guys get back together into, what was it, 2014? Or no, 2013, right?
Yeah, 2013.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And things, yeah, and you start doing the touring again, man.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a blessing.
Yeah.
It's been a real, real blessing. And I appreciate it more.
Yeah.
You know, even though the stakes are not as high as they used to be, but to still be able to come out that somebody want to see.
Yeah.
It may not be the people who used to be. It may not be selling out Madison Square Garden no more, but at Jimmy's Bar and Grill, the seat 200.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's, people don't have to come see, and we don't make records.
Yeah, yeah.
So people don't have to spend their hard-earned money to come see you. So if they come in to see you, man, that's a blessing, man. And we've been doing, J5 has been together for 20 years. You could have never told me that.
Yeah, that's amazing, too.
Told me that.
That is amazing.
So what can I say? But when we did it, we did Coachella, and when we were apart, we were still getting offers. Offers would still come in.
Yeah.
And if I got a call, I was like, no, man, so I'd be like, no, I don't want to. Because I was bitter.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to. And then once I started working the job, and then I was getting up early in the morning to catch the bus to work the job, I was just like, man, this is for the birds. I was like, if I'm not supposed to be doing music no more, I'm damn sure I'm not supposed to be doing this.
Right.
I was like, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm supposed to be a pimp, but I was like, I'm not supposed to be in here sweeping no floors. I was like, this ain't nothing. I was like, my daddy didn't raise no floors.
Well, if you were supposed to get a pimp, be a pimp, man, you better make sure you got some nice shoes.
Yeah, of course. I won't get the Air Ike. I won't get those. Aaron, make sure I don't get them, man. Make sure you try to point them out. Be like, those are the Air Ike.
Yeah, yeah. Don't even try it. Don't even try
You're
it.
Right. Don't go over yeah. there. Right. But I knew that wasn't it. So when it came, it was like, well, I know a guy named Rick at the time. He was like, this guy named Rick, he was like, look, if I can, you know, get y'all main stage Coachella, would you just sit down and maybe consider it?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, he was like, you the last person I come to talk to. He said, I spoke to everybody else. He said, I need to know what you think, you know, as far as like, you know, because I'm perceived as the hard ass. But I was just like, okay, I said, I'll be willing to sit down.
Yeah.
And then Coachella happened, and it turned out to be great. And it was funny because when we got back on stage after 7 years, it was like riding a bike. I know that's a super cliche saying, but it is.
Yeah.
Cliche saying because it's true. It was just like riding a bike. You jump right back into it, and then tours started coming, and guys wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. As long as you want to do it, that's fine. And that's where we at right now.
How did that feel? How did that feel getting back up on stage in front of like what? What's the Coachella crowd like? 65,000 or something like that?
Yeah, it was. I just know we had the biggest crowd for the 2 weekends we did it, and yeah, they was like Katy Perry. I remember the first show we did as we was walking up, Paul McCartney was there, and I was just
right.
I didn't say that going, but I was just that's Paul McCartney right there. I was like. You know, I was bugging on that, and then when we performed, like Katy Perry was on the side of the stage.
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart from the Twilight stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't see him. This is what they told me.
Right, right.
And I was just like, wow. And I was just like, people wanted to, you know, come and check us out. And I was like, that's pretty dope. And I was like, you know, because I know I said Katy Perry name in another interview, and he was like, oh, that's fine. I'm like, shut up. I'm like, that. I can't stop that lady from coming. You know, like, we can stop people from coming. Don't let your head, you know, would y'all perform yet? But whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You see Katy Perry, tell her don't come up here. I was like, man, I don't care who was up there, but this thought it was dope.
Hey, man.
Well.
Firework is a classic pop song, man. Can't beat that. You can't beat it.
I kissed the girl.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. When you look at Twilight movie, Kristen Stewart, that's an incredible Audrey Hepburn type act.
Well, I don't know. Okay.
I'm going too far.
I think we're going a little too far here.
Okay, all right. Just
I had to sit I had to sit here. Through those movies with my wife, man, and they were pretty bad.
Hey man, you give me a rope. I try to be a cowboy, man. You slow me down.
You're just trying to fit in. That's right.
I want to be light.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a once again, I mean, it's a testament to your guys' music. I mean, it's just classic. You know, the beats that you guys have are so funky and so danceable. You know, it reaches that level of being. Classic, you know? Does that make any sense? I mean,
yeah, it does, but it's just a trip to hear.
Right.
People come and be like, oh man, y'all legends. And I'm just like, because I'm looking at the people who I consider legends.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but to hear somebody say that, to hear you say, hey man, quality control at a turn with my life when I was in the process of becoming who I am now. Played an important part in my life, man. That ain't what I did it for. Because you got to understand, I was in my room.
Sure.
We were in the recording studio. We was just doing what we thought was dope.
You're making your art.
Yeah, man. And to hear somebody say that, because I know I've done that.
Sure.
But to hear somebody say that to you, and that's a how it's gonna be. Whether it be your son or somebody you mentor, when they sit and say, Aaron, man. You played this important part in my life, not in that 2 hour time span we kicked it. No, 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 no. In my life, that's a hell of a big statement, man.
Yeah,
so,
dude. Yeah.
I, you know, it's hard for me to take in because I'm still living it. I haven't had a chance to reflect on my career as a whole while I'm sitting back in a rocking chair. So I'm still living it, so it don't hit me like that. But to hear people say it and say what it meant to them during the time in their life, that's huge, man.
Yeah. Well, it's an absolute honor to have the chance to talk with you. Thank you for taking the time. What are you kidding me, man? This has been amazing.
Okay, thank you, man. I just want to make sure. I hope people hear it and don't be like, man, he's cool, but he got too many teeth in his mouth. He's talking. Hopefully Seattle ain't doing that, and hopefully it'll be a good show to be funny, because if I come out there and it rains, hey, it might not be good, man, because every time I try to...
That's right. You know what, though? You want it to rain because, man, if it's as hot as it is now here in Seattle, that show box is going to be a toaster oven.
Burn it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. But, man, do me a favor.
Sure.
When you get there, man, make sure you come up, man, and introduce yourself, man, so I can know who I was talking to.
I would love to.
Oh, please do, man.
I would love to. Well, thank you, Soup. Thank you so much for taking the time, man. This is, like I said, it's been a complete honor.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me, man, and you have a great week. Man.
All right.
And a great rest of the day, man.
Hey, thank you. You too.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Bye. You cannot tell me that was not an amazing conversation, right? Oh my God, man. Soup of J5. Wow, what an incredible story, right? Oh my God. I just want to reach out and give that guy a hug. So as you probably noticed, we did this one over the phone. We do not normally do that here on the Air Raid Podcast. We don't like to do it, but when the opportunity arises to have somebody like Soup on the show, of whom I have, you know, venerated for many, many years... you take that, right? You take that chance. You want it to last longer. You want it to, mean something, right? And that's part of the reason why we never do it over. We never do phoners, because I think they're very much less personal. Does that sentence even make sense? They don't turn out as personable as face to face, and so that's why we kind of stay away from them most of the time. But this one worked out, man. It worked out great. You can see Jurassic 5 coming up this week on the 8th, San Diego at Humphreys. The 9th in Los Angeles at the Nokia Stadium. Is that what it is? Nokia Theater? And then the 10th here in Seattle, Washington at the Showbox at the Market. July 11th, Oakland, California at the Fox Theater. July 16th, Las Vegas at the Brooklyn Bowl. And then in Denver, Colorado on the 17th at the Ogden Theater. That's a two-nighter, actually. 17th and the 18th. All right? Go see Jurassic 5, man. Amazing band. Incredible people. Incredible people. Oh, my God. God, that was so awesome. I'm so stoked. Oh, man. You can subscribe to the Air Raid Podcast on iTunes. And if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. We are available on Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, and also your personal little podcatcher on your device. Or just visit air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch with us by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheAirRaidPodcast. Our Twitter handle is @AirRaidNet, or email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge. Tell somebody about this show. If you liked this episode, tell your friends about it. Say, hey, check this awesome conversation out with Soup from Jurassic 5. Or you can go into our archives at www.air-raid.net. Click on the archives tab and go check out conversations with Mike McCready, Aisha Tyler, Mike Birbiglia, Judah Friedlander. All sorts of people, man. Right there. Tell your friends. No inspirational quote this week, folks. So we're running low on time. This is What's Golden by Jurassic 5, and we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one.
landscapes and shapes. Illustrate the paper space off the pens that paint. Then design what habit, National Geographic or magic with tailor-made status and plus flavor that's automatic.
We're not falling, we take it back to the days of yes, y'all. We're holding on to what's golden.
On the stage, I rage and I'm rolling.
We're not falling, a shot calling. We take it back to the days of yes, y'all. We're holding on to what's golden.
On the stage, I rage and I'm rolling.
Melancholy, mundane, sauteed, a hot flame. Big rings, fat chains, they all quest for the same. No name, huge fame, strictly new to the thing. We stay true to the game and never bring it to shame. We tight like dreadlocks, a red fox and ripple. We pass participles and smash the artists in you. The saga continues, this I won't get into, cause there ain't enough bars to hold the drama that we've been through.
Yo, we still the same with a little fame. A little change in the household name, but ain't too much change. We in the game, yo, but not to be vain. I refrain from salt grains to season up my name. We entertain for a mutual game. From close range, steady aim. My drum at your head to hit the brain. I'm labor ready, roll scholar for the dollar. Work for mines, pay me by the hour.
We're not falling, we take it back to the days of yes, y'all. We're holding on to what's golden.
On the stage, I rage and I'm rolling.
We're not falling, a shot calling. We take it back to the days of yes, y'all. We're holding on to what's golden.
On the stage, I rage and I'm rolling.
The verbal Herman Munster, the word enhancer, sick of phony mobsters controlling the dance floor. I'm in them dark places, catch you when you stark naked. Your heart races as we poke you for your chart spaces. The taunt tastes me bringing these hot styles through. Some of you bum a few cheers from shock value. Word power can plow through acres of cornfields. Paragraphs cut like warm steel, perform ill.
We're not falling, we take it back to the days of yes, showing. We're holding on to what's golden.
On the stage, I rage and I'm rolling.
We're not falling, a shot calling. We take it back to the days of yes, showing. We're holding on to what's golden.
On the